Welcome to Behind the Headlines, where we're about to take you right across the UK, looking at some of the stories we've been covering today on Tuesday, the 22nd of October, 2024. We're still talking about the man who was shot by a Met Police marksman, Chris Cabber, as the judge has lifted reporting restrictions on his background. We'll also be hearing from our reporter at the scene of a big train crash in which one man has died. This one has got lots of people talking today. Should pensioners be stopped from driving? And you know we like to cover the slightly lighter stories here as well. We'll be getting all the details on why campaigners think pie and mash should be protected. So let's dive straight in. My name is Louise Easton and I'm going to be host over the next 10 minutes or so. First, we're going to start though with the case of a mum's disappearance in North Yorkshire, as there's just been a development in that. 34-year-old Victoria Taylor was reported missing on the 1st of October. And sadly, police who've been looking for her say they've now recovered a body in the River Derwent. Our Yorkshire correspondent, Rosanna Robbins, has been at a police press conference in Fulford. She sent this report.
Over the last 3 weeks, a huge search has been underway involving dogs, drones and police teams on land and in the river. But we're told that just before midday today, the underwater search team found a body near to where Victoria's things were recovered. Assistant Chief Constable Wayne Fox says Victoria's family are being supported.
The disappearance of Victoria has understandably had a wider impact on the communities of Norton and Moulton. Victoria's family and those closest to her have understandably felt an enormous amount of heartache since the day she was reported missing, and they have previously acknowledged just how grateful they are to the local community for the overwhelming level of support that they've had as a family.
On the two-week anniversary of her disappearance, Victoria's sisters, Emma and Heidi, had released a statement saying there were no words to describe what they were going through, and they thanked the community for all the help they'd given in the search efforts.
To Wales now, where an investigation is continuing after a passenger died when two trains crashed in mid-Wales last night. Another 15 people were taken to hospital after the head-on collision near the village of Clan Bryn Mawr. Our reporter Adam Smith has the latest.
All day, police and rail investigators have been flowing through the cordon here. They're working to understand how a man in his 60s died and how 15 others were injured when the two trains came nose to nose on this single line track. British Transport Police Chief Inspector Jonathan Coos says figuring things out will take time.
While we are working at pace, along with our colleagues in other emergency services and the rail industry, to understand the circumstances leading up to the collision, as a result, there will be continued emergency service presence in the area for the next coming days.
Well, tributes are pouring in. Transport Secretary Louise Hague says she's incredibly sorry to hear. And Wales's First Minister, Eluned Morgan, too, who's thanked emergency services.
The former home of an eight-year-old boy who is currently missing is being searched by detectives in Ireland. It's believed Kieran Dernan lived there until May this year, but was reported missing in August. Our chief reporter, Barry White, has more from Dundalk.
Since this morning, Guardian Forensics have been searching a house on Emer Terrace here in Dundalk. The house has been searched and will be subject of technical and forensic examinations, while a mini excavator has been used to dig up the adjoining garden to the property. Chief Superintendent Alan McGovern says the Gardaí's priority is finding Kieran.
We want to discover where Kieran is. We want to discover what has happened to Kieran. I continue to appeal to anyone who has any information, contact investigating Gardaí.
Meanwhile, Gardaí have stressed that the current tenants of the house that is being searched are not connected in any way with Kieran or his disappearance. Barry White in Dundalk, County Louth.
And 24 hours on from a Met Police officer being cleared at the murder of Chris Cabber in South London, and we're continuing to get reactions. A High Court judge has lifted reporting restrictions, which tell us more about the 24-year-old's past. Our reporter Claire Bode can explain.
The family of Chris Cabber say they will keep fighting for justice after Martin Blake was cleared of his murder after shooting Cabber at a traffic stop.
We stand with the families who lost loved ones before Chris, who are still seeking justice. This verdict is not the end. It only strengthens our resolve. Now is the time to join a fight for a future where justice and accountability are the norm, and no one is above the law.
The reaction comes as it's revealed Chris Cabber was a core member of one of London's most dangerous gangs. The 24-year-old is alleged to have shot a rival in the legs at a nightclub, and he would have stood trial for attempted murder had he not died in September 2022.
You're listening to Behind the Headlines. We're in the West Midlands now, where an inquest into the deaths of former patients of Ian Paterson has begun. You'll remember that he's the disgraced breast surgeon who's currently serving a 20-year custodial sentence after being convicted of multiple counts of wounding in 2017. Well, he was due to appear today after the coroner ruled yesterday that he must attend, but we're being told he's refused. Our reporter Amelia Sammons is outside court for us now.
Someone from the prison spoke with Paterson this morning to ask him why he'd chosen not to attend. He said he feels the coroner was not investigating fairly, that he was biased, also that he hasn't had full access to court documents, and that he's had limited legal input because of insufficient funds. The judge said he hopes Paterson will reconsider this decision, but if not, he's quite satisfied he can proceed with the 62 inquest without him.
Now, driving can always be a contentious issue, and today is no different, as there are calls for people over the age of 80 not to have their driving licence automatically renewed unless they can pass a short test to prove they're mentally fit enough to stay behind the wheel. It's one of the recommendations being made following the death of three-year-old Xander Irvine, who died after being hit by a car in Edinburgh 4 years ago. A fatal accident inquiry, which is the equivalent of a coroner's inquest, has heard the driver of the vehicle had been suffering from undiagnosed dementia. Edith Duncan, who was 91, had been facing prosecution, but she died a year after this happened. Our reporter Ali McGilvray is in Scotland for us and has been following this story. So, Ali, how did the FAI come about?
Well, this was a discretionary fatal accident inquiry instructed by the Lord Advocate, as she considered the death of Xander came about in circumstances giving rise to what she described as serious public concern. I recall the day in June 2020 when the toddler had been out walking in the city with his mum. They stopped to look in a window of a shop in Morningside Road when a red Kia Picanto mounted the pavement and struck them. Now, unlike a criminal trial, an FAI is seeking to establish the facts surrounding the death and what steps may be taken to prevent similar tragedies in future. It's not looking to point the finger, but Sheriff Nigel Ross concludes Xander's death was entirely caused by Miss Duncan's poor driving. He also criticises the current system allowing pensioners to self-declare they're safe to drive and said he wants over 80s to pass a test to prove they won't pose a danger on the roads.
And what's the reaction to this been?
Well, one motoring charity I've spoken to is welcoming this recommendation. Neil Gregg from I Am Road Smart, previously known as the Institute of Advanced Motorists, says there are now more older drivers on our roads driving to a much older age, and an overhaul of the licensing system is needed.
With age, your reaction times slow down, but the biggest problem, and I think this case highlights it, is dementia. Getting early interventions, early diagnosis of dementia, and relating that to driving, because that's where we seem to find that the worst crashes. But we do need to be careful, because there are lots of safe drivers out there, and giving up driving is a huge decision, and it also adds to cost to society, and it can make people mental health deteriorate, for example. They end up stuck in their home. So we need to get the balance right here between road safety and making sure that people are still able to be mobile.
Of course, there are lots of questions about the practicalities of implementing such a scheme. Adam Stahura is Director of Policy at Age Scotland.
If there are any changes to be made, it's really important that there is good consultation about this and the practicalities of how to create a brand new system, which would require tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of drivers to have tests such as these done. Who would do them? Can GPs do so? Or do they have the capacity to do so, and how it's funded? There are lots of questions around the practicalities of this.
So, Ali, what happens now?
Well, the sheriff's recommendations to alter the self-certification process to prove someone's fitness to drive would require changes to primary legislation, and that's a matter for the UK government to consider.
OK, thanks, Ali. To Belfast now, where businesses are raising concerns about the impact of recent gridlock in the city centre. There are fears that heavy traffic caused by roadworks is putting people off coming near the city centre at a key time of year. And Northern Ireland reporter Hannah Paterson has more on this one.
If you've been driving in and around Belfast recently, you may have been stuck in standstill traffic. This is because of roadworks, which retail and hospitality sectors say need to be paused until after Christmas. Retail NI's Glenn Roberts says businesses will suffer.
It's the harvest time where our members and our colleagues in hospitality make a significant amount of income and profit, which sustains the business throughout the year. So it's critical for our members that they have a good Christmas.
The Department for Infrastructure says all non-essential roadworks will be paused from the end of November to the start of January, but Retail NI says it needs to be brought forward to the start of November, as that's when people really start preparing for Christmas. Nikki lives in Hollywood. She says she usually goes shopping in Belfast every weekend, but not anymore.
And every weekend we need to use the Sydney bypass to go shopping, etc. in the car, and it is hectic, really bad. I always go to Yorkgate and Abbey Centre to do Christmas shopping, and my partner just won't drive in it.
Works on the Sydney bypass are due to be paused on the 25th of November.
And you may just regard pie mash as a delicious meal to have, especially when the weather turns a little bit colder. I know I do, but campaigners say it needs protecting. They're trying to secure a special status for the traditional recipe to celebrate the food and its London origins, and they've taken their fight to Westminster. Our reporter Jamie Lee Rendell has all the details.
Well, it's been a staple dish for Cockneys for nearly 200 years, and today steps have been made to give pie mash special protected status.
Moving out to places like the east of England and into Kent as the Cockney diaspora moved post-war.
Basildon and Billericay MP Richard Holden has made his case for it in a Westminster Hall debate. He says producers of the dish should get the recognition they deserve. Well, Junie Thirkle works at Manzies at Tower Bridge and tells us it's about time.
I was brought up on it, really. My father, his father, etc., etc., always had it. Even when I had to register my children at their births, we'd pop in the pie and mash shop on the way home, rub their gums with liquor, and they were initiated into the world of pie and mash. We've been long fighting for to be recognised as a traditional meal. The tourists absolutely love us where we're situated in Tower Bridge. But the locals, I mean, it's family, it's community.
Well, the recipe involves a minced beef pie served with mashed potatoes and a parsley sauce known as liquor. But DEFRA says an application for TSG status needs an agreement on the recipe that producers would need to follow. Richard reckons there's a case for it, though.
Now, traditional pie and mash is an artisan food. The pie, mash and liquors are freshly made to authentic family-owned recipes passed down through generations, like precious heirlooms.
Well, the government said it's committed to celebrating the country's food and would warmly welcome a formal application.
Well, I would warmly welcome a serving of pie and mash right about now. That report has made me hungry. For more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels, and be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.